Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. I am so excited to have you all here with me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat, and I have a fantastic guest for you guys. You are going to love her. So Ms. Annalise Vance, do us a favor and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into this space.
Okay, well, I'm Annalise Vance. I introduce myself as Mommy CEO. I'm very well known for being family first. So the mommy comes before CEO. So it's not just a cute little thing to me. It's very important to me. Both of my children are walking miracles. I have no idea where this conversation will go, but I very highly prioritize that. I'm the owner of Never Miss a Moment Consulting. And how I got into the space, that was the next question, right? I'll say what I do after I explain the background is I was in corporate sales of digital marketing for almost 14 years. I had a $2 million book of business and I was a President's Club winner every year. And then they didn't like that I outperformed everyone by not having a 1980s strategy and did networking. And so they found a loophole. And one day I was on a performance review where I was told that my computer would be shutting off at noon. And so there I was with a six-figure income that just walked out the door, an eight-month-old miracle, almost walking around in my house, of which we had a mortgage. And I went to my husband and was like, well, this is what just happened. About the sickest feeling I've ever had in my life of having to tell him that. And he literally like didn't even faze him. And I mean, he obviously had like empathy and all of that, but he was like, why don't you start that consulting company you've always talked about? And I had told the HR young lady, I can't remember her name, but I said, I have 70 of my clients in my cell phone, because I had a lot of these clients since 2007, 2009, like very long-term relationships. My retention rate was always like over 85%. And I said, I'm calling them and telling them I'm no longer with the company. And from that, over time, several have come over, but the first one came the very next day. I got a text of, would you like your first client? And I was like, well, who says no to that? And he's been with us for 3 years. I write about him a lot on LinkedIn because I help him with a lot of different things. But I do three things. So we do done-for-you Google ads for dad-owned companies. I'm also a marketing vendor broker. I joke that I'm the eHarmony of marketing vendors because people just seem to get that analogy. And then I'm also a fractional CMO, which is a little harder with two young ones. And I should say that I have two under four. Quinn is turning 2 next month, and Lilybet will be 4 in March. Aww. So that is my life. And I was telling you before, like, I literally just hopped on at 157 and was like, here I am. I just kind of go from appointment to appointment. I'm very scheduled, and it all seems to work out somehow. So
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I loved you put that you specify, though, that mommy comes before CEO. Yeah. That to me is fantastic, because there are so many people, right, that get into not only a regular job, mm-hmm. but in the entrepreneurial space as well, mm-hmm. where everybody else goes in the back burner, including themselves. And it's just focused on growing this business. And then people wonder why they're burnt out within the first couple of years that they've done that. I would love to know, how on earth have you handled growing a business and still been able to put the priority of being a mom first? What are some of your tricks of the trade, or the things that are your non-negotiables that have helped you?
Yeah. In this? I would say the biggest factor of not losing my mind, and I'll get into some tips, is I very clearly every day know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I tell this story a lot, but my daughter was a COVID baby. Technically, she was born March 8th, but we were in the NICU with her for a week, and thankfully it was only a week, but we came out March 15th to supposed Armageddon, where, you know, all the, you know, shelves were cleared, and my husband's like, so you're having frozen pizza? And I'm like, I just had a kid, whatever. I don't care. Because that was literally all that was left. And so I was still in corporate at that time. I was on maternity leave for 3 months, but then June to the end of October, when they made their decision, I was still in corporate. So my husband did the 1 and 5 a.m. feedings. I would pump, and he would feed her a bottle. And there's this really cute picture that I'll never forget, where he has his chin on the bottle and it's in her mouth. It's, they're having a staring contest. So they are buddies. Like, I mean, I think every dad has a special relationship with his daughter, and every mom has a special relationship with her son, and vice versa. But, you know, mm-hmm. those cliches, I think, are very true, but they are truly buddies. Like, he's always taken her on dates. And so when she was 2 and a half, when we made the decision to focus in on dad-owned companies, because that's just what we really felt we were called to do for many reasons, which we might get into, I hope. And he made the decision to, there's a client we have where he has to help them offsite. Well, in her 2 and a half old mind, she doesn't understand that we own a business. It's daddy's mm-hmm. leaving and going to work. And so for a couple of weeks, we got away with daddy's going to help people. But I distinctly remember after a couple of weeks, she would not even hug him when he left, because she felt like she was condoning him leaving. She'd hug him when she got home. When he got home, she would hug him any other time, but it wrecked my husband. And so for the last year, my entire vision has been to free him up from that, so that he doesn't have to do that for, you know, the betterment, you know, responsible thing to do for our family. And I never forget that, because a big part of my story, and I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, but it all kind of fits together. So I have a lot of empathy for my daughter, because my dad traveled growing up. And so I know what she's feeling, and not that I enable some of the emotions, but I'm very sensitive to the emotions, if that makes sense, because mm-hmm. I had them. And I've looked her in the eye many times. I will never forget. My daughter was so angry about it one day that, you know, and I wear glasses. She had a hammer in her hand. It was a little toy hammer, she got so angry and had so much emotion about it. And she was, I don't think she was three yet, but I got hit in the face with a hammer on the bridge of my glasses and was bleeding. And you know what? I wasn't even mad, because I'm like, she's going through all of this right when her emotions are turning on. Like, how much does that suck? And so, you know, I remember this conversation. She was sitting on the toilet, and because she was freaked out by what she had done, and she felt really bad, like, oh, I hurt mommy. And I was like, sweetie, like, I get that you're upset. And we started going through feelings charts and things like this. We still do today, like, point to me, you know, what are you feeling? And she'll, you know, frustrated, angry. And because I want her to know it's okay to have these feelings, and mommy and daddy are working towards this not happening. So that's why I've, you know, been on so many podcasts, and I post, you know, 5 to 6 times a week. And all of this is just because anything that I can do when I'm in my space that I have when the kids are napping, I want to bring him home. And we're really, really close. It'll probably happen in January, maybe February. So everything's been worth it. And you know what? My son, he's going to be too, he won't remember any of this. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, probably long-term, probably really won't remember it, but it doesn't make it any less real what she's going through mm-hmm. right now. But some tricks of the trade, I am enormously scheduled. my kids wake up at a certain time. Naps are at a certain time, because otherwise I couldn't do things like this. And this gives me my space to talk to adults, right? And not be talking toddler if some of that comes out. So the schedule, I would say, is the biggest thing. You know, the other is, you know, you mentioned, like, not just taking care of my kids and, you know, putting them first, but taking time for me. Kat, sometimes I take a nap. I think it was last Monday. I had 2 appointments. They both, for some reason, scheduled, and I, without any guilt whatsoever, took a nap while my kids napped. Because you've got to fill yourself up too, right? My word for 2021 and 2022, and I did a workshop on this, and I should figure out how to put it into a video and post it, but it was capacity. And, you know, because I always ask my customers, what's your goal? What's your budget? Well, to me, capacity is another word for budget, but it's not just financial. And I think men too, but I think especially women, and I think you and I may have had this conversation, you know, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, like, what's your capacity to handle this? And I don't take on more than I can. I think that's a big thing. You know, there's a lot of things I could go do, but I keep the most important things the most important, like the big rocks when you're, like, filling the jar, right? You do the big rocks and then the little rocks and the pebbles and the sand and the water. I keep the big rocks. You know, 1 to 1:30 is my special time with my daughter, and I never have an appointment during that, ever. I don't care if it was for a $10,000 a month client. I'd say no, because that's our special time. She's quality time. So I know the personalities of my kids. I know their love languages, and, you know, I keep those priorities as well. So I also ask for help a lot, which was a struggle for me before. But it's literally like, I know I can't do this all by myself. I'm constantly asking other people's perspective, like, what would you do in this situation? So I think that answers your question, but
oh my gosh, just
top of my head.
So answered the questions. Well, and you made so many great points, right? So I heard boundaries are in there. Hardcore place boundaries, right? That's a huge one.
I'm huge with boundaries.
I love that you make that for your family, for your kids, but also for yourself. That is definitely something that women especially, and I know there are some men out there too, but women especially, we feel like we are supposed to help, nurture, take care of everyone else. And we always put ourselves on the back burner. And then we wonder why we're burnt out. We wonder why we can't handle things. We wonder why we're screaming at our kids or we're fighting with our spouse. And a lot of it is because of all of that pent up emotion and crap that we dealt with that we still haven't dealt with. And it comes out in those other situations, right? So I love that is such a priority for you and that you have no shame and guilt toward that. That is a huge one for people, especially women, when it comes to putting ourselves first, is not having that shame and guilt to, like you said, take a nap. Like crap will get done. I'll get it done when it gets done. But being able to make that a priority, which like you said, fills your cup, which in the end makes you a better parent, a better spouse, a better employer when you're working with other people. Like it helps you with your clients more because you're not working off of a quarter full of a cup. You are actually being able to give them exactly what they need in that moment wholeheartedly, even if that means putting it off a little bit, right? That is so, that's such a tremendous feat.
And I think it helps with emotional stability too, right? Which, you know, I think men struggle with that too, but you know, women, like I think it's more maybe prevalently talked about, you know, if I'm hungry and if I'm tired, you know, I'm no different than a toddler. That was actually a big thing we learned with my daughter is when she got to the point where she couldn't listen a lot of times, it wasn't because she was being bad. She was hungry. And so, you know, I'm the same way. Like that's why Dustin did the 1 and 5 a.m. feedings. Cause I wasn't going to be of any use as a mom to her, you know, dealing with, you know, a newborn, without sleep. And I know a lot of, you know, women do. I've been blessed that we've been able to be a team with that. And it's always worked out.
I love that. And what I really love about what you've talked about and everything as well is how much you involve the dad in it. Now, I get that there are some people with unfortunate situations where the dad doesn't want to be a part of it, right? That's a whole nother scenario. Or for people like me who didn't have someone that actually was there for my kids through the abusive relationship, he wasn't anything. And then when I was a single mom, you know, it was just me. But there, I feel like there are so many people out there that are blessed like you, like I am now, right? With amazing men in our lives, amazing dads in our lives. And we don't always recognize that because of all the other things that we're doing. And then we wonder why they do get frustrated or why they don't help as much because they don't understand what's going on. And we don't make the time to explain it a way that they can understand it, right? Or like you said, making sure that you have the capacity to ask for help and asking for help. Like that has been a huge thing. Living in a house of 5 boys. Yes, I call my husband a boy. Living in a house with 5 dudes and being the only female, like it really did shift the way that I had conversations and they're more apt to help. I just can't give them 15 things to do and tell them to remember to do it all. Right. So it's like asking for one task or making a list and saying, okay, look, I have a lot of crap on my plate today. Here's some of the things that I need to get done. If you could tackle some of this, that would be great. Asking for help is that in itself was such a game changer.
Well, I think, you know, you said creating the time, but I think it's also creating the space for them to help. And you and I have a similar background. I don't know that we necessarily need to get into that today, and we can. But it was safer for me before of I've got it because then it couldn't get screwed up. Right. And, you know, a mentor of ours is famous for saying, if both of you thought the same, one of you wouldn't be necessary. You know, God put us together because we're different. And this last 2 years has been, or 3 years, 3 years has been super interesting because I was the, and not because my husband isn't talented, it's just kind of how it worked out, but I was the main breadwinner for the majority of our marriage. And so when I was, I had a non-compete for a year. So the first year I literally couldn't exist. And he was joking last night that I was like 007 and I was a ghost. Because every bit of income that's come through his business, I brought in, because I'm business development and he's really good at being in the background. It's not, one isn't mm-hmm. better than the other. They're both necessary. Like if I develop the business and he doesn't deliver, like they're equally, you know, important, but he's like, I feel so proud, you know, and I think that's really good for a guy to feel. But it's been a strange adjustment for me to be taken care of because mm-hmm. that wasn't the case, but it wasn't because he wasn't willing, Kat.
Yeah.
I had to create the space for him to do it. And quite frankly, I like it better, of the two, but that can feel like your safe place, even though it's not as good as it could be, you know? But we also joke that, like, you know, he has the Book of Dustin and I have, you know, the Book of Annalise, and we've got to let each other know when there's like, you know, a new adjustment to the book, you know, and not assume that the other person knows. Like you and I were talking about something we're dealing with right now, and he was like, thank you so much. Like, now I know how to fight for you, were his words. And I think our husbands want to, but we have to, you know, let them know how, because like my husband's the personality where he's like, you've got it, cool, I'll go chill. But he wants to help, right? Yeah. And so modeling that to my daughter as well, like she's 3.5. So she's in that, like, I've got it, you know, phase, just being a 3.5-year-old, but I don't want that to carry on through her whole life. Like, no, it's okay that, you know, daddy opens the door, daddy helps you. Like, I want to uproot that, from just the generations. Cause it's very, very prevalent, on the female side of the family. Like, I mean, I'm fourth generation female owned business owner. So a very strong line of women, where the husbands have been the support role, and very, very necessary, support roles, but it's okay sometimes to like be supported, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And not like have to be like I'm all for girl boss and all that, like, don't get me wrong, but, it's okay to not have to be the boss sometimes, if that message is coming through.
Oh, 100%. And I totally agree with you. And you're right. I was in the exact same boat. I controlled so many aspects of my life for so long because I didn't have someone to do that. And I was raised to be survival. Very strong and handle your own crap. Right. And coming in, having my husband, same thing. You're so right. Where there are so many amazing men out there that they're so good in their own body and mind that they don't take offense to you being like, well, I'm going to handle it. It's like, cool. All right. Yeah. And at the same time, if you were to say, I cannot handle this right now, or I cannot deal with this, they are 100% willing to step in. And you're right. I think that there are a lot of us that we are so strong in what we've done, or we've been forced to be in that position so long that it's so easy to just be like, nobody's going to figure out but me, just I'm going to do it. And then we create our own demise. We create our own stress. We create our own burnout, when in reality, like you said earlier, asking for help, which is something I've really learned to do, especially being in a home for the boys. My boys are 19 and 15. We literally just sat down and had a family meeting on Friday. And it was around, I can't handle this anymore. Every single one of you are going through some things, and I am being the happy cheerleader. And I cannot be everyone's cheerleader when nobody's cheering for me. And you know what's so funny? My 19-year-old said, Mom, you have to let us handle our own crap sometime. And I was like, shit. Oh, crap. Okay. I need to remember that. You know, we want to handle things. We want to help. And it's when you give them that space, like you said, you're so right. When you give them that space, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a colleague, whether it's a client you're working with, especially when there's that male and female dynamic, they really do understand. You just have to give them the space and let go of that ego, or for a lot of us women, that I have to figure everything out because that's the way that I'm supposed to do it because I'm female kind of crap. Because, right. you know, like you said, your husband enjoys staying home. And there are so many men out there that are like, yeah, I would love to be the stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Dude, I would totally have loved that because I enjoy working. I would have loved to have had someone that like did the laundry and cooked and did all the crap I didn't want to do. And I love that you're in this space of making that so possible. And that is, you know, your niche of people to be able to focus on that because they deserve to have what they want just as much as we deserve. And I'm right there with you while I'm all girl boss and everything, you know, there doesn't have to be this male and female role per se. It's just, okay, I want to do this. You want to do that. Great. This meshes. Right. How can we work together?
Right. And you know, what's really cool about Dustin and my dynamic is, you know, neither one of us is technically the stay-at-home parent. It's just a joint effort. You know, he enjoys taking the kids out, you know, going to the zoo, going to the park. He volunteers to do it, you know, which gives me some office hour space. But then I enjoy like, just like this morning, my kids and I, my neighbor has a chicken coop and my son wanted to see the chickens. And I texted her like, is it all right if we like hang out in your backyard? Sure. He was trying to check the water for the chickens. My daughter was driving the little plastic car around. We were all jumping in the leaves together. And that's such a victory for me to be in that space of literally to be able to shut it off and just like be a mom. There was something this weekend and I was playing with the kids and my husband's like, that was my favorite part, was just watching you just be free and just play with the kids. Because I think you and I might be similar in this, where I had to grow up really quickly, through no fault of anyone. And a lot of it was probably my personality and I probably just took it on and didn't know any better, but I wasn't always really the kid, you know. I was, the protector of my sister. I was, you know, filling in, and, I see a deficiency and I just like, I go to fill it. And so at 38, to be able to like play with my kids and be a kid, so to speak, is like a huge victory for me. But you know, the other thing I did want to mention just about dads, there's so much in the media today just putting them down. And you said something that I want to piggyback off of, just how capable they are in their own right, but no one's really talking about that. And that's what I really like to advocate for. There's a lot of men out there who want to be strong and they want to fight for their family. And they're not the idiots that are pursued on cartoons or sitcoms or movies. You know, they're not the buffoon. And it just drove me bananas to see it happening. And I'm like, not the men I hang out with, you know? Yeah. Not the business owners I see that are doing it for their family, and no one was talking about it. And so that's where a lot of my content has come from. Just no one else was talking about it. So it was like, well, I will. And it, you know, all kind of works and fits together, but yeah, they're very, very capable. They just need the space to do it. And they need, I think our husbands, along with our kids, need the space to screw up. Right. Because they can't get better if there's no practice. Right. And my kids amaze me every day. I'm like, oh, you know, like I'll watch them do something. I'm like, oh, you're totally fine. All right, cool. Like, go ahead. But you know, that like protective, you know, nature, just being a mom comes in.
Yeah.
And so that's been a lot of my journey, is just like giving, like my son today was running after his sister, totally face planted on the sidewalk. He's got a little thing on his head and he cried for, you know, maybe a minute or two, but he's like, I want to walk. Okay, cool. Like, you know, he like needs a hug. And then he's like, but I got it. You know, he's that, you know, tenderhearted, but like kind of strong combination. And, you know, he's going to live, you know, I mean, you know, after your second kid, it's like, all right, you know, you're good. You'll be fine. But giving them that space, like you're not going to protect them. Like, I haven't had to deal with a broken bone yet. Really not sure how I'm going to deal with that one. But like, you know, bumps, bruises, like my daughter yesterday, her lip went through, or her tooth, like slightly went through, her chin. Like it didn't come out. It didn't like, you know, but it like, there's a little tooth sized thing right there. And so she had a little bandage. She looks, you know, like $1 million baby on her chin. But she's like, Mom, I'm done bleeding. She like threw the bandaid away. She's like, I'm good. I'm like, cool girl.
All right.
Oh, she's tough. But I want to preserve that like princess side of her too, right? Like I love that she's tough. I love that she can handle her business. Well, 3 and a half. But you know, she's still like that tender, you know, side as well. And mm-hmm. I want to preserve that. There's a lot that's been redeemed through Dustin and I being able to parent our kids. So
mm-hmm.
make space for that.
I love that. And I love that you are preserving her personality, right? Just like you're preserving how your boy's personality is, and you allow your husband to preserve his personality and see it as it changes. That to me is so important, that we don't make enough space for that for mm-hmm. so many people in such a huge regard. I would love to know, because I really want to talk a tad bit more about your business, you know, before we end on you helping. How do you feel like you help dads preserve how they are running their businesses to allow them to have space in their family lives?
That's a really great question. So, you know, I can only talk from my experience, but my dad is a baby boomer, and a lot of the business owners that I help are kind of in that age range. And so for them, provision a lot of times is financial because, you know, that's like their role. It's their responsibility. Like, you know, my dad, you know, did something for years that I don't know was his favorite, but it's what provided for his family. It put his kids in private school. It let us, like, you know, I didn't have a bad upbringing, as like we went to Paris and Germany, and it wasn't all the time, you know, but like
mm-hmm.
I got exposed to a lot of things. And I think the biggest thing that I try to give dads, again, the space to figure out, and my husband, you know, is a great example of this, is there's so many more ways to provide than financial. You know, my husband showing my daughter, this is how a man should love a woman, and him showing that to my son too, and being that example, you know, him taking and my daughter on dates and being the standard, and him, you know, just being able to be a boy with my son. And really, I think it's letting them have the choice to be present with their kids. So what we specifically do, you know, with the Done For You Google ads, or I do with the fractional CMO work, is I take it, I used to say, because it sounded really cute, I take the marketing off their shoulders. So if their kids are small enough that they can put their kids up there instead.
Oh,
and yeah, it didn't really fit into a headline, but it sounded really awesome. So and it's, I'm still proud of it. It's still cute. It'll go somewhere. We're just not sure where yet, but just that choice, right? That they, because a lot of families, like if the dad doesn't do something and the mom's, you know, staying home or working, but I mean, and I don't want to paint like a broad brush, but typically, right, they're normally more the breadwinner. They make more of the income. And so if that goes away, it takes away a lot of choices, right? And the dad provides it for everyone else, but they don't always get to participate. And that's what I want to change is, you know, marketing is something that if it's not in your zone of genius, and, you know, some things aren't in my zone of genius, but marketing really is, and advertising and all the metrics and all the just detail stuff that the business owners sit and like bang their head. Like, what is going on? But they're going to figure it out, right? Because it's a necessary part of their business.
Yeah.
If they could literally just completely take that off their head. Off their head, out of their head, and know that someone that they trust is handling it. One of the best success stories, and I wrote about this, but my client that was my first one that kind of came over and has been a client of Never Miss a Moment for 3 years. I just sent him a text, you know, just checking in, because I think that's a good thing to do with your clients. And he's like, I was like, how's it going? He's like, Annalise, I have no idea. I'm in South Carolina with my kids visiting my grandkids. Kat, I've never heard better words in my life. Because that's what I'm trying to accomplish. He knows I've got it. He trusts that I have it. He'll let me know if something's changed. And we have had to, if you've been following my Tuesday triumphs at all over the last like kind of 3 weeks, I've been telling that story. And it took about 3 to 4 weeks to, you know, round something out, but that's advertising, right? There's adjustments and unique situations that come up, but mostly like, he's like, if you're not hearing from me, I know you've got it. I'm handling the business. That's my part. And what I like isn't related to marketing. That's his strength. Mm-hmm. Or he's with his family. And the goal is that I'm not hearing from him, right? And that he doesn't have to call me and constantly be on it, but freeing them up from having to deal with it is really what the goal is. And then they can make their choice of what they want to do. But a lot of people, they just don't even have the choice. Yeah. And so that's what I really try to provide.
I love that so much. I think that so many times we get so caught up in what it is that we are doing or how we think that we need to run all the things. And it's so hard to trust other people to do it. That it goes back to putting that eternal, that extra burden on ourselves for the fear that something may fall through. So I love that you create the space and take over those pieces, and then they can freely choose what they want to do, which is what a lot of people want to do when they get in business, right? Which is have a business, help people, but still have the freedom as well. And I think a lot of people are missing that freedom part because they're so focused on building the business, but maintaining all of that control.
Right. Well, in a lot of the service-based companies that we help, I mean, there's a couple that don't fit into that, but most of ours are B2C service-based family-owned companies. They got into business because they were good at the trade and they were like, I can do this and I can do this for my family and I don't have to do the work to build someone else's family empire. I can do it for myself. But they didn't know marketing. And marketing's changed. I mean, I've been in that. I mean, I actually started selling ads in the phone book, believe it or not, in 2007. Thank God that's not what I did forever. But in 2008, you know, got Google certified. And then 2010, I think, was the Microsoft certification. Facebook was 2014. So it's changed so much. And it's changed so much even in the last 3 years that I've owned my company. I mean, Google put out an update in 2023 that if you didn't have someone managing what you're doing, I'm not like saying that to toot my own horn, but like you need someone, whether it's us or someone else, to help you, because it's not something you want to have on autopilot. It's dangerous. And I've written a lot about this too. It is dangerous to have it on autopilot. And so if you're coming in now trying to figure out advertising or marketing, it's like drinking from a fire hose, plus run a business, plus, you know, try and be there for your family and all the different hats that, that people wear. It's a lot. And so if I can just take that one piece off of their shoulders that they don't have to worry about, and they can, you know, not be there. There's a client of ours, and we'll, on our way to Kroger, which I don't, you have Kroger's down in Tennessee? Okay. So like on our way to Kroger, we'll drive by sometimes and it'll be 6:30, 7 o'clock at night as car will be in the parking lot. And I'm just like, you know, like go home and see your daughters. Like, and I think some guys, like they're doing it for all the right reasons. They really are. But they're still missing it. Like they just don't know better. Right. Cause it's just what they've always done. And they just don't know that there's another way. And I, not to be cheesy, but kind of like the Matrix, like red pill, blue pill, like there's another way to handle this. You know, I think it's a relevant, hopefully not too dating myself.
Example. I mean, I got it, but you know,
Matrix would be dating yourself. Right. But it's, you know, there's other ways to do it. And it is through collaboration and, you know, letting other people take things off of your plate. And mm-hmm. we do that for what we do. You know, we do the Google ads in-house. I do, you know, the fractional CMO work, but everything else, and I won't list names here, but you know who you are if you happen to hear this, like that's the marketing vendor broker side of anything anyone needs. I have a pseudo agency because I can refer you not to an employee that works for me that might be here today, gone tomorrow, but another business owner that is doing it for their family. And so I get to affect other families by referring, because Google Ads is just one piece. You know, I talked to a gentleman on Friday and I was honest with him. I said, look, I don't know that this is the best strategy for you. And I told him why. I said, however, I know someone who does Instagram and I think that'd be perfect for you. Now, whether he moves forward, but I think it also takes the pressure off, because a lot of businesses, right, they sell one product.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can try and put a square peg into a round hole sometimes. I don't have to. Like, pick your flavor, you know, whatever you want, whatever you're trying to accomplish, and I can build a marketing team for you. And I can take the building of the team even off your shoulders. You tell me your budget and what you're trying to accomplish, and we'll put together a team to do it as well. So literally, I can literally take all of it off of their shoulders or just a piece. It just really depends on what's best for them.
Which is amazing, right? Because that is such a huge chunk, mm-hmm. even just in the marketing department, to be able to do that. And you're so right. Collaboration is such a game changer in running your business and realizing, realizing where your strengths are. And when you know that something is not going to work for someone, knowing who you can send them to, that's helping people, not trying to keep everyone for yourself. And then you screw them up because you knew in the beginning, it probably should have been the one to handle it. Right.
And you can want to, right. To like hold on to that part of the income for your family. And it's understandable, but it gives me so much peace to know that I'm going to refer this to someone else. I'm still going to get a piece of it for the referral, but then I can go be with my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the best customers I have, are the vendors that pay me every month. And I'm like, sweet. But my customers are getting people that it's their zone of genius to handle that, because I want to do what's best for my clients too. And I can do so much more sticking with what I'm good at than trying to, you know, figure that out, spend all that time, probably lose money in the process, honestly, versus just take a piece and then help another family. And then, you know, make sure it's handled by someone who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Well, Annalise, I cannot thank you enough for this conversation. Like, this has been so much fun. And I feel like this is such an amazing perspective for someone to have in how they are helping families and really being able to put the dads first for those mm-hmm. that really do want to be able to spend time with their families and creating that space for them. So as we come to a close, one of the things I always ask all of my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece mm-hmm. of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
Oh, I should have known this was coming. Well, I like lots of quotes, but the one that just popped into my head is, the way that you do one thing is the way that you do everything. And so if you're not doing something so well, like, that might be in other areas, like kind of seeping into there. And if you are doing things really well, that's probably seeping in as well. But to me, it really comes down to just excellence and character. Like, even if you're doing something really, really seemingly insignificant, if you don't handle that with excellence, and I'll give you of course, it's going to be a kid example. So my daughter's riding her tricycle, and the house we live on, it goes up to like a slight incline, right? For us riding a bike, it'd be no big deal, but for a 3-year-old, it's kind of like, so I was explaining to her, hey, we're going to be going up an incline. And then when you get up to the stop sign, we'll turn around and, you know, it'll be downhill, so it'll be easier. Well, she, like, maybe 3/4 of the way was like, I'm done. And I said, no, I said, get back on your bike. I said, Vance's finish. And I helped push her up, and she pedaled all the way. I mean, she wasn't like at 3.5 going to have the character of like, oh yes, Vance is finished. But like, she knew mommy was serious. And yeah. Even though it was a little thing like riding a bike, you know, I don't want her to think it's okay. Well, when it gets hard, it's okay to stop. And so it's the way she does that is how she'll do, you know, other things. And mm-hmm. you know, there's bribery too. Like we were raking the leaves and I knew I had salted caramel keto ice cream inside, and you know, so I'm not eating the whole thing by myself, right? And we were raking leaves and she had this little bucket and she was putting leaves into it and she was carrying them over to the pile, and I was like, cool. And she's like, mom, this is such hard work. I was like, I know, right? And you know, she's like, can I just stop? And I said, yeah, like you can. But you know, you're not going to get your treat. She goes, all right. She goes, I'll do it. Well, there was a few leaves back and I demonstrated to her, and I was like, it was hilarious. I was like carrying them in my arms while I just was done raking. And she's like, mom, what are you doing? I said, Vance is finished. I said, I'm not leaving. It was a little tiny pile of leaves, but the whole rest of the yard was immaculate. And so she watched me finish, and I'm really instilling that into my kids. So it's, even though it was leaves, right? Like, who's going to care? More leaves are going to fall in the yard, which it totally did the next day. But in that moment, I'm like, we're going to finish this project and, you know, do it in an excellent way.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that. That is, I love that quote. Like, yeah, I so love favorites. That quote. Yeah, definitely. Well, Annalise, please be sure to share with everybody then, how can everybody find you, connect with you, and be in your world?
Yeah. So the biggest place I probably hang out is LinkedIn. As a mom on the mobile app, I can hang out in the comments and the DMs. And then you can also go to, I have a Facebook page at Never Miss a Moment as well, which is part of my personal page, which is how my name is spelled there under my little picture. And I also have nevermissamomentconsulting.com. I answer every message on the contact page, goes directly into my email, and people are welcome to reach out to me there.
I love it. So thank you so much. And of course, everybody will have all that information in the show notes so that you guys can find her and connect with her, and definitely hop on her LinkedIn because she's always sharing fantastic pictures and cute stories and all that. So I love following you on LinkedIn and being a part of all of that. So thank you again, Annalise, so much for being a part of the podcast today. I can't thank you
enough.
You're
welcome. Thanks for the opportunity. I enjoyed it as well. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Oh, yay. And to everybody else out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways and was really paying attention on, you know, some of the priorities that we forget to allow ourselves to have, whether you're the mom or the dad or a single solopreneur. There are things that we need to be paying attention to, like boundaries, self-care, right? Things like that. So anyway, I hope you were taking notes. If not, you should get your sticky pad out, make you some little notes, put it up for later. And until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com.
Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own lotus effect.